Moving to the Middle East now, where the sound you're listening to is protesters in Cairo's Tahrir Square, recorded on a cell phone video sent directly to us by one of the protest's organizers. The protests are both organized and chaotic in the same sense. Confronting the government in Cairo is fraught with peril. The police are known to crack down on protesters, yet these are in the wake of the Jasmine Revolution in Tunisia. We're organized online on a Facebook page and Twitter, and were scheduled to take place this morning. It wasn't clear that people actually hit the streets, but they did on schedule. Joining us from Cairo is the BBC's John Lyne. John, when we spoke to you 2 hours ago, you sounded frankly, I wouldn't say surprised, but certainly moved by the diversity of faces you were seeing in the protest crowds. How big were they? And now that you've had a chance to think about it, how unprecedented or how unusual is this activity?
Let me just update you, really, because it's completely changed since I last spoke to you. In the last few minutes, the police have moved in on the demonstrators. I was right amongst the police as they moved in with the water cannon and the batons and the full riot gear. And the protesters fought back. They were throwing large rocks back at the police and held their ground for a while. I understand one of the other demonstrations, they even pushed the police back despite the water cannon and all the gear the police had. So there were very violent confrontations here. The police have managed to move on the demonstrators and broken up the crowd that had gathered outside the Parliament building. I couldn't tell you exactly how many, but I think it had got up to several thousand by that stage. But there are a lot of smaller demonstrations. They're really scattered around Cairo and other cities here. So the police have broken up their demonstration, but now they're involved in these kind of running confrontations with the protesters who kind of appear and disappear in the side streets in the center of Cairo. So it's a very lively situation here. We haven't seen anything like this, but certainly since I've been in Cairo, and this is a first for a long time. These protesters are clearly emboldened by what they saw happen in Tunisia.
It's extraordinary. We're getting a live report from the streets of Cairo from the BBC's John Lyne. Was there a tipping point where the protests became violent, or did it appear that there was an order given by the police?
I think it came from the police, is my impression, although I'm sure the police will claim otherwise. What seems to have happened is, first of all, the protests got much bigger than they expected. So the police stepped back, and the protesters were able to gather in the center of Cairo, around particularly the parliament and in the central square, Tahrir Square. And then at that point, it's clear the police rethought their strategy. You saw them reassembling. It's a bit like an army preparing for battle. They dropped their lines. They encircled one group of protesters in the square, and they dropped their lines outside the parliament. They pulled together with the water cannons and their other vehicles, put their shields on, started giving this kind of war cry almost, and chanting and stamping their feet, and then marched in a way clearly designed to intimidate the protesters, who gave as good as they got through pretty large rocks back, and the police were very hesitant to move forward. But eventually the kind of greater power of the police seems to have prevailed, and they moved in and dispersed the protests, but not ended them.
Are there explicit references to the departure of Ben Ali in Tunisia? We've been talking with one of the organizers of the Facebook protests, who describes Ben Ali, compared with Mubarak, as the devil versus Satan.
I haven't heard anybody here personally speak about President Mubarak in those terms. But certainly the chant is, it's time for him to go, or we're the real Egyptians, meaning that those running the country are not. Clearly, yes, they want, above all, improvement in their economic conditions, better, cheaper food, prices have gone through the roof, but they want the government out as well.
So we should remind our viewers that John Lyne, from our partner the BBC, is reporting live from the streets of Cairo. The feed of the takeaway is actually being fed to some of the organizers of the protest that we are in touch with. So we have John, what's going on?
A little bit confused here. We seem to have another group of demonstrators have reassembled. So they haven't quite broken up the police yet. They're trying to reassemble in front of me now. They're just calling for their mates to come back in. You hear them chanting. And now the demonstrators are coming back together again. And no doubt the police will come and find them and try to disperse them. So this is really kind of running battles now in the center of Cairo. Battles is maybe too strong. Nobody, as far as I know, has been badly injured or killed. But running confrontations, certainly.
Well, it's a compelling sound and picture that we're getting from you, John. Describe the diversity of the people in these crowds. This isn't just people from one organization or one sort of sectarian party.
mostly young people, and I would say mostly not from the bottom of society. I say that because a fair proportion of the women are not wearing headscarves, and poorer women here tend to wear headscarves. So I would say they're more from the middle class of society. But the ones who came and spoke to me said the first issue, though, was about food and the price of food, and that's what they said to me. Life is too expensive. We can't afford to live here. So they may be middle class, but they're suffering their economic conditions. And now I see on the other side of the street, the police once again forming up. So I don't think they're about to move in, but they're clearly ready to have another go. And you maybe just hear the police now. This kind of war chant they give, this kind of... And here they are massing, and I'm right in the middle. I'm in no man's land here between the police on one end of the street and the protesters on the other. So I think we're in for another crashing of heads here.
John, you're not in the line of fire, are you?
I wouldn't say line of fire because there's no guns, and I'm stepping out of the way. But bizarrely, one of the policemen, as he rushed to attack the protesters, said to me, "Excuse me," as he went past me. So in a kind of funny Egyptian way, it's still quite good-natured, at least towards foreigners like me.
Well, again, it's this sort of ritualistic quality of the towing the line, the coming to the edge, the brinkmanship there in Egypt. John, where do you think this goes?
Well, we've definitely gone over a red line here because we just haven't seen a demonstration of this fires and anger for at least a couple of years. My history, Egyptian history, maybe doesn't go back longer than that. So I think this is really going to change a lot of things here. Now, whether the government's going to respond or whether they're just going to have their usual response, which is just to crack down harder, we'll see. Now I see the police are just reforming. They've also been given an order to move, so they're now taking up position in another street, so they've decided this is not the place to have the confrontation, so I think I'm not going to get my head cracked, fortunately.
All right, well, we're happy to hear about that. Any sense of a number of arrests? Have you seen people being hauled away?
I've seen people being hauled away. They often seem to be people who kind of rushed at the police. They kind of drag one or two away. More, I think the police are just trying to disperse the protesters than make mass arrests. I mean, there's not enough police here, frankly, to arrest all the protesters. The police, for once in Egypt, are outnumbered by the protesters, as far as I can see, even though trawling around the streets of Cairo earlier today, I saw scores and scores of police vans. Nevertheless, this time I think they've underestimated the scale of these demonstrations, as I think many of us did.
Finally, John Lyne, what's the scale of the media presence there?
There's media here, and I think that's why the police, to start with, may have been holding off. They didn't want to be seen being too violent in front of the media. But I would think what changed their minds was when the protesters assembled outside the parliament.
Indeed. A delicate dance being described compellingly there by the BBC's John Lyne, who is describing this as a red line being crossed in Cairo. Demonstrations, thousands of people in the streets protesting government corruption and the price of food. The police have moved in. You can hear that there's the activity between the protesters and the police. We'll be following it all morning here on The Takeaway. That's correspondent John Lyne from our partner, the BBC, live from Cairo. If you want to weigh in on this and anything, we're in touch with the protesters and the organizers of some of those protests. Go to thetakeaway.org and learn more. And you can also weigh in at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.